Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship-ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
And hello and welcome. I am Morgana. This is my husband, Devin. And we have been discussing for a few weeks what makes a good man. And by the way,
oh right, we never finished my list.
Well, we'll get back to that, just not today.
Oh, just not today.
Just okay. Not today.
So we're leaving them hanging.
Yeah. Well, but honestly, if you have any opinion on that, if you want to share with us what you think makes a good man, we want to hear it. Even tonight, we're going to be talking about some other stuff. But
oh, how do people contact us?
I'm so glad you asked.
Oh.
You can call us live at any time at 888-627-6008 about anything over the course of the next hour.
That wasn't even it. So how does somebody get in touch with us if they just want to ask, like, they're hearing this, they've downloaded this radio show, you know, podcast thing that we do, and they want to talk to us, you know, not when we're live, but just at some point.
What? So, what? Real life?
Right. Because, you know, maybe they're doing something else. I mean, they should be here. They're supposed to be here. But if they're hearing us at some other point, do we know that?
Well,
do we even have an answer to that question?
I think that's a brilliant question, my love.
Right. Okay.
So I would invite you to go to crazysexymidlifelove.com and contact us there. If you want to reach me behind my husband's back and you're not a man with nefarious agendas.
Who's that?
You
is
can
it,
find
is there
me.
One?
Well, as a matter of fact, you can contact me at MorganaRay.com. Just the name that you'll see on the show website. No, actually, there was a man of ill intent who direct messaged me this week because he saw a photo of me wearing a mask and he wanted to let me know that I'm wearing a mask because I'm old and wrinkly and bedridden, which I thought was really funny because I'm going to be 54 in a week and I do have wrinkles. So I kind of was scratching my head looking at that thinking, what is your point? Do you think that's going to hurt my feelings?
But they're out there. They're running around having thoughts.
Well,
and nowhere to put them. Nowhere to put the thoughts.
I guess that has been the greatest delight of midlife is silly people. I just don't take them seriously like I used to. Hallelujah.
Yeah, what's the point?
So that would not be my definition of a good man. Today, my number one, drum roll please, my number one definition of a good man is a man with infinite capacity to tolerate that.
Okay, so I am not on this list.
You are so on this list.
Okay.
In the last week, I broke down and I captured, kidnapped, picked up and carried into my house another one of the feral cats that I've been eating in the backyard.
Right. Is this my
feeding
infinite capacity?
Yeah. You're so tolerant. Well, Devin and I have a deal. He said I could have all the cats I want if he could have all the guitars he wants.
Well, right. That's exactly so. That there's always more space for another guitar. But we're not going to discuss the guitar yet. Because I want to talk more about the cat.
Tell us about the cat.
So the cat doesn't want to be.
He loves the petting.
He does. He actually does. He likes being pet. He likes cuddling. He's a cuddly cat who is unhappy.
And he likes the food.
No, he likes the food. I think he likes probably the warmth because outside right now it's in the 40s. It's chilly.
Last night was a hailstorm. Well, he's dry inside.
Right. So all of that has got to be totally bonusy. And because he doesn't speak English, he's not going to say any of that, and he's not going to confirm any of these things. But I think it's on that level. I think it's a good thing. I think the cat's aware of it.
He's been a rougher transition than my prior rescue. This is where I get my steady stream of excessive cats. It's in my own backyard. I want to make sure we aren't getting.
Yeah, you're going to hit one day while you're quitting everything. You're just going to turn off the radio show.
Yeah.
And we'll say, well, why didn't you do that before we were on?
And right.
Will be,
I didn't think of it.
Right.
So, yeah, this orange cat is like having a newborn because he is crying all the time.
Yeah, and he's not a happy cat.
But when he sleeps, it's like, oh, my God, finally, peace. Unfortunately, like most newborns, he's nocturnal, so he likes to, he is the most awake at night.
He is awake, and when he's awake, so it's a cat. It's a, I think the magic number for cats in one place is 4. And that would be a magic number for somebody who likes cats.
A lot, yeah.
Right, and if you're marginal, if you're marginal on cats, then it's really 4 to many.
So how did you put me in my place, my love? How did you show me?
Are we switching the subject already?
Away how from did cats? You show me?
I thought
me?
I felt a role. I felt I could go on and on and on about cats.
Because
and I do
want to
say
yeah.
that I'm acting as sort of like the police, like the cat police. Because, so when we had the 3 cats, Hobo Cat, which was the feral cat, and then there's a boy cat and a girl cat.
Those are not their names. Hobo Cat's real name is Odin Osiris. Girl Cat is Ostara. And then Devin names the other cat Wasabi.
Right. But I've been calling him the boy cat for many years because there was a boy
which
cat.
Which becomes complicated when there are 2 other boy cats.
Right. So Hobo Cat.
Odin Osiris, he has risen. That is his full name.
Which was sort of good because so the Hobo Cat would chase the boy cat, even though the boy cat was the bigger of the cat, Hobo Cat had like street savvy. So
just mention here that right now we are really heavy into the crazy part of crazy sexy midlife love?
Right. I'm sure they could do that out.
Yeah.
So the feral cat who had the street savvy would chase the boy cat
twice as big as he is.
He would just constantly run away. But the girl cat, who was like not messing around,
Was smaller than them both,
would chase them around. However, in the 2 boy girl cat land, the boy cat has asserted its dominance. So they were constantly chasing each other in a circle, and they got along well enough.
We had a homeostasis. We had, you know, like an ecological balance, and then I disturbed the force.
Just by bringing in the kitten, who everybody was the punch. She was like the punching bag to all cats, except for Hobo Cat, which wanted to make love to her.
Right. So now
I
brought in.
Even though he's been fixed, but nobody tells him that.
Yeah. He still has aspirations. And then I bring in a giant red cat who's bigger than them all. And nobody's happy, including
he's huge
you. You're
and
not
has
sleeping.
No neck. Right. Well, because there's too much policing. Before, they were sort of policing each other. But now the kitten is sort of like really one of the dumber cats in the world, for sure. She is not, she's constantly confused about what's happening.
She only survives on cuteness.
Right. So again, so now the girl cat and Hope and the boy cat do not accept.
Okay. So yes, we are going to be talking about relationship on this show. We are not going to be talking about cats.
I thought we needed a strong, developed lead-in.
And specifically today, being our last episode of the year, the eve of New Year's Eve, with a giant full moon yesterday that we're still kind of basking in the energy of today, we are going to be talking about banishing and manifesting 2021. But before we jump into like what we're really going to talk about, and if at any time you want to call in and you want advice on banishing something you've been stuck with or what you want to manifest, we do have a telephone number. And there we go. 888-627-6008. I will repeat it again slower. 888-627-6008. No, you won't be on camera. You will have, you know, your privacy. We'll just hear your voice. And we will help you because this is
manifestation. We're supposed to enjoy. We're supposed to enjoy our later years.
Right. And this is kind of our manifestation, and good things are coming in the new year. So back to how did you put me in my woman place when I brought another cat?
So no, we had this conversation when she was talking about, well, we're going to grab this kitten and we're going to bring her in and we're going to fix her and release her. And by the way, I just want to make it clear. I knew that that was never going to happen. She made like some sort of a half-hearted
attempt. I really believe.
But like,
that
oh, no, I'll fix it and then I'll put it out into the universe and somebody will certainly take it. And so anyway, it's still here. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And this is the cat's home. And so there we have it. So that's cat number four. And I said, as she was considering cat number four, I said, listen, you can have as many cats as you want. And that only means that I can have as many guitars as I want. And I will say, maybe this is a midlife crisis. And maybe I am going through some sort of a psychological turmoil.
Right? Psychological.
I might be, but I think it's in response to just one too many cats. That's what I think it is.
It wasn't COVID.
Right.
It wasn't a year in captivity.
I saw a photograph a year ago about a bass, but we're not going to talk about a bass. We're going to talk about a guitar because shortly thereafter, I saw another photograph because I was talking with a friend.
Were these the same brand?
This is the same brand. So I'll get to that in a second.
My husband is obsessed with a certain brand of guitar. If you've ever met a man, you probably know what that's like.
Right. So I'm obsessed with this one manufacturer. And so now I have several of their instruments. But so I saw this picture and I'm like, oh my gosh, when is this thing coming out? This is it. And what I wanted to say about it.
And it's bright purple for those of you who aren't seeing the
video. It's purple and pink and it's a burst. And what it is, it's kind of like a Telecaster. It actually is. And so you can't see it here because my wife has created so much complications in space. So if you can see that, that's a Schecter guitar. And this is the kind of guitar that Pete Townsend plays. So it's called a PT Special. That was initially played by Pete Townsend of the Who 25 years ago in Schecter. Maybe it was longer than that.
Do you think there's anybody listening who doesn't know who Pete Townsend is of our vintage?
So Pete Townsend, who was a guitar player of The Who. Listen, I think you have to tell people that. What
okay.
if somebody, so like if it's, I get this as crazy, sexy, midlife love,
mm-hmm.
right? I embrace that. You embrace that. But there could have been somebody who stumbled upon it, right? I remember there was a point when I said to my daughter when she was like 10, I brought up Michael Jackson and she's like, who? Now, of course, she knows exactly who Michael Jackson is. But there's a period, right? There's a period where people are not hip to different generational music. Of course, to you and I, Pete Townsend, The Who, right? It's a thing, but not. So anyway, this thing just came out. It's called the Purple Burst by Schecter. It's a PT Special. It's like the new color. I'm also going to go on to say that the binding on this is beautiful. It has a tummy cut, belly cut on the back. It's got a sort of kind of a cutaway on the arm as well over here, which is beautiful. And so this thing
over
is,
here meaning the bottom.
Right, at the bottom right. of the guitar right here.
Yeah.
You can kind of see that cutaway. It's just to play a little bit more comfortably. And it's got this thing. I mean, it's just really a nice guitar. And so I personally, I'm going to take out my earphones first, just a second. and say, so it's got, it's, they kind of reverse this on the sort of like what a T style might be, but it sounds fantastic. Really sort of like totally hip and vintagey. And this is kind of like, these are single coil pickups. And this is sort of like a P90. I think they call it, I think they call it a V90. I'm not sure what the V stands for. I think probably vintage, if I know Schecter. So, and I do. And so anyway, this is a gorgeous, gorgeous guitar. And it's very, normally they have like a heavy finish on it. So this one, you probably can't even see it. No, you kind of can. You can really see the wood grain through the sort of transparent purple burrs. You can also see back stuff. It's just a gorgeous freaking guitar. And so anyway, I was playing it so late that my lovely wife went to sleep while I was just sitting and playing really the longest guitar solo in the history of the world. So anyway, so rosewood neck, maple, it says, I keep banging this, I knew that was going to happen. So the neck is maple. It almost looks like it's rosewood maple. This is for the guitar nerds out there. Bolt-on neck, it plays great, sounds great. And so that was sort of like my gift. But I have to say that this wasn't the only guitar that I got.
I think it
retails, or if you can get it for like $599. So it's actually a fairly inexpensive guitar. Plays fantastic. It's got, not only does it have the split coil, and so it's got, you saw the dual knobs on it, but it has like a pull switch on it, which allows you to play the pickups in series, which just kind of gives it a little bit more fullness. If we use it, I know that my wife is just.
I've glazed over a long
ago. Well, okay, but we had the conversation at some point. She goes, "Well, you are going to show talk,
of
right?
course,
because we needed to talk about cats." So there was no. Well, there was. We were left no choice.
Let's make sure everybody can hear me.
Oh well, they're not going to hear me with this.
Yeah,
this is so I hear them.
There's a microphone on me.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think they should be hearing.
Well, we'll find out after the fact.
I guess so. Yeah. So maybe it was just me silently pantomiming things, talking about guitars.
Yeah.
But that's part of the joy.
Of crazy spectrum is like love.
Right. So that's the crazy part where I just get to be enamored.
Defense. Yeah.
As long as my wife is enamored with house cats that don't organically belong to us.
Because I fix them so they can't make babies.
Right.
We choke. That, you know, because you're so ridiculously apologetic every time you decide to buy another guitar, as if I'm your mom, or I'm going to say no.
Well, my mother
How
wouldn't care
dare
less.
You? Well,
she would actually
yeah.
tell me to go buy more guitars. That's
Is that
what
a challenge
doing.
To me?
Yeah, well, it might be, because there's more space. I'll just have to stack them.
When the orange cat started spraying, you already picked out your next guitar.
Yeah, no, I did. And by the way, it's another Schecter. It is it's called a Blackjack. Listen, you open the door. You open the door. So it's a Blackjack Solo 2, and it's kind of like a Les Paul style guitar. Beautiful. The pickups are just animals. They're unbelievable. This is like a more of a hard rock guitar. You will appreciate this when we have cat number 7 waltzing around the house, spraying and making noise. Hopefully it'll drown out my guitar playing. So.
Oh, dear Lord. Well, you know, we often talk about the must-haves when we're looking for a relationship partner. Like, I must have this in a partner for me. He must be trustworthy and kind and loving and affectionate and responsible for himself so that that's part of being trustworthy. So he has to be attractive to me and attracted to me. So those are like non-negotiable. But then there's this whole pile of not necessary, but it would be really cool stuff. And in that basket of not necessary, but really cool stuff is he plays guitar and sings. Cause like, you know, any one of us who had a crush on, who was it? Sean Cassidy. You know, we all like want to date our own personal rock star. So it is kind of fun to get those kind of goofy feelings. Oh my God, that, you know, he's so cute. He sounds so great. And so it was a very nice little bonus that I ended up with somebody who plays guitar. And you didn't even bring that out as one of your seduction standbys in our relationship until like way late in the game.
No, I brought it out earlier. You just poo-pooed the idea. You're not aware of that, but I am.
I thought the way you framed it was that I was already so easily yours, it wasn't necessary.
Well, I didn't say that. I just thought I was going to get lucky.
Well, it took longer than you expected.
But... Right. Well, okay. So anyway, so...
But you are charming.
I have a little bit of that. So what's happening? We're ending 2020.
All right. So just for those who are new or came in late last week, every year, I'm just going to... People tend to buy around this time of the year. I mean, people get my book year round, but Devin and I always start a new book every year. This is my international bestseller. It was number one in all categories, mover and shaker on Amazon when it first came out. And it's the first part is a book, and then it becomes a journal of worksheets and basically a self-coaching guide. I created it so that you didn't have to hire me to have miracles. I wanted to, and if you go to Amazon and you just look for Financial Alchemy, 12 Months of Magic and Manifestation, that's the name of the book, Financial Alchemy. Just Morgana, Financial Alchemy, it'll show up and you look at the reviews. These are people I've never heard of sharing all sorts of amazing results. So tons of 5-star reviews. The negative reviews were people who didn't understand it's a workbook. So they're part of the book. And then mostly I wanted something you would open again and again and again and use so that you would get results. Because I know for myself, I read amazing books. I get super inspired. And then they sit on my bookshelf and they get forgotten about and I stop doing it. So I created it for myself first. So just so you know, it really is a book where you put it into action with like really easy baby step action, which is that you can do a few minutes every day, like 2 minutes, seriously. At the end of the year, I have a formula for completing the old year and creating the new year. And so, yeah, you can go to Amazon and purchase the book. And you don't have to get my complete and create formula. That is 100% free. I put out an updated version at the end of every year. And the website to download your copy so you can do it is MorganaRay.com. My name, spelled M as in Mary, O-R-G-A, N as in Nancy, A, R-A-E.com. /, and then it's just 4 words connected by dashes. New year manifestation gift. So it's MorganaRay.com/new-year-manifestation-gift to just download the formula. So since we took care of that, that's not what we're going to do here today. We're going to do other stuff that isn't in the formula. And we're going to talk about banishing. One of my favorite things to do is banish. When you've got like a problem person or a problem pattern in your life that you just want to get rid of. I discovered I'm really effective at getting rid of those things without any negative consequence to anybody. Like I'm not here to harm anybody. And I think that is really key to effective banishing. So first we'll talk about banish, which is like creating space for what you want. So you have more room in a more sound container. And then we'll talk about manifesting what you want so we can create 2021. I have my ideas of what I want to contribute. I have no idea what Devin is going to contribute, but Devin is a super ninja master at this stuff. So I'm going to actually just be interested to hear Devin's approach. Do you want to start with banishing or shall I start?
You start wherever you were planning on going.
Okay.
I will listen and have a comment. I'm sure at some point down the road.
Okay. So here's what I know about banishing. And this is an energetic principle. When you try to get rid of something with negative intent, it tends to be stickier, harder to get rid of, and it sort of rebounds on you. My mother would call it the rule of three. Like if I send out some kind of mean wish for somebody else, it'll come back threefold to me. Or anything manipulative, it just sort of entangles you in that energy. So we don't want to do that. But what I learned to do, I had, you know, weird negative experiences where many years ago I had a stalker after a book tour, or I had a difficult neighbor or something like that. And I found that sort of blasting the other person with love, very, very specific to them, neutralized the problem. So like with the stalker, I found out what his name was, and I just started chanting myself, turn away from me, find your sanity, find your love away from me. And I just was making this up as I was going along, just sending him all the love, all the mental health, everything that would make him happy in a different direction, because he wasn't going to get it from me. And I was protected and moved on in his own, in another direction. I don't know what happened to him. He just left me alone after that. The neighbor, another weird, crazy situation. I just knew that she wasn't happy. I was in an apartment at the time. The sound of my air conditioner bothered her. And I've been living there 10 years and she just moved in, and I, you know, LA gets really hot. So I just set the intention that I really wanted her to find another place to live that would make her happy. And just when I say difficult neighbor, she keyed my car because I had the air conditioner on. So that's kind of an extreme reaction. So instead of hating her, and I couldn't prove she did it, I just wished very, very strongly for her to find a better place to live where she would be happier. And within a day, she was moving to a better place for her where she would be happier. And that's all I did, was wish good things for her. So when I want to banish a person, I wish them wonderful stuff with the intention that this other thing that's better for them will be more attractive to them, so that their attention will not be on me. So that's for problem relationships. And for patterns. What do I want to say about patterns? Before you can release a pattern, whether it's poverty or ill health or drama of any kind, and yeah, I respect that people have circumstances, and I'm not here in any way to blame you for your circumstances. I think stuff happens, really dramatic stuff happens, and it's not your fault. So I really, really, really want to be clear about that, that I'm not blaming you for awful things happening. And I find that we can, through trauma, get so wounded by awful things happening that we lose the capacity to come out of this trauma dynamic. So that if we are not empowered and we stay in this victim cycle that, again, was not your fault, but it becomes like this neurological pattern and it keeps happening, and we feel more and more hopeless and powerless. So what I want to help you with is to get out of that dynamic. And the place to start is to find some benefit in the problem. Because when we can find any sort of payoff, because you're a genius human being, and any human being who has like been in an abusive relationship will adapt in a way to find some kind of good thing that you were able to get out of it. Like maybe you got sympathy from your friends, or maybe being a victim made you feel like a better person because that was modeled to you. Maybe through society or family or religion or whatever. But just know that whenever you give up anything, no matter how bad, there's a grief, because there's always something to give up. So I would encourage you, invite you to find one, whatever that payoff is. In psychology, they call it a secondary gain. Maybe being sick meant that you got to stay home and you didn't have to put yourself out there. And which is a really, is actually a very attractive payoff. So find whatever it might be, anything that might make you feel about letting go of this thing you want to get rid of. For money, something I hear all the time is people don't want to be targets. And if you have a lot of money, there's the fear that people will look at you as a bank and come after you for that. And it happens. So find whatever is in the way. A fear, and for every fear, there's the opposite, and that's the payoff. Find what it is, and here's what we do. We find a better place to satisfy that need. That maybe the need is for safety, maybe the need is for significance, maybe the need is for connection. Like, we connect with our victim experiences, and it's a deep and rich and beautiful connection. What if you got to have that connection without the victim experience anymore? Wouldn't that make it a lot easier to release and say goodbye to the victim experience, whatever it is, with the same kind of love that we banish the person who doesn't belong in our life? That is the key to any successful banishment, is banishing with love releases. So we don't say that if somebody hurt us, we don't say that they were right. We don't even have to say we forgive them. But what we can say is, this dynamic no longer belongs in my life. And I lovingly keep what I want to keep, but I get it from a better source. I get it from a safe source, so that I can let go of that dynamic. And that releases the past a lot more easily. Even in the New Year's manifestation gift that I'll hold it up to the camera again, LaDonnaRae.com, new-year-manifestation-gift. It starts by finding the highlights and the learnings of 2020, no matter what a dumpster trash year it might have been for you. And it was also a great year for some people. And whatever it was, I want you to get all the gifts. All the gifts. So you get to keep those and then say goodbye to 2020 with love. You never have to see it again. Hallelujah. And that is true of every successful banishing experience that I've ever had, is what you release with love has less friction. Do you have anything you
want to
say about that, Devin?
Sure. I think you can look at, just from another perspective, in terms of sort of like banishing things. Let's say you're in whatever. In other words, you've gotten into a habit because of COVID or whatever, that you're not doing things the way that you used to, or taking action the way that you used to. Is that so? You know, a banishing is basically the idea of getting rid of a particular energy that's surrounding something. And it's sort of like, you know, the way a lot of people use it is sort of like a preamble to doing something other than that. In other words, a banishing, and I assume you're going to talk more about what precisely that is.
Banishing is getting rid of.
Right. But how would you do that?
Well,
so hold on, let me finish, and then you can answer that question, because I think it's important. Is that you use it as sort of a preamble to some sort of an action on your part that will hopefully put you in a different direction. So let's say, okay, 2020, I've turned into a bit of a couch potato, and you have a whole slew of great reasons of why that happened. We all understand, but you don't like it for you, and you want more for you. So you do a banishing with the mindset of, I need to get rid of this thing, but more importantly, I need to kind of start angling myself in a direction that's going to be more useful. So I'd take some specific action towards not being on the couch all day, right? As an example. But to give it a little bit more oomph, you acknowledge, hey, I'm getting rid of X, Y, and Z in order to kind of move forward with these other actions that are going to be more useful for myself or my family or the world at large or whatever it is that you set your goal first.
Well, for me, banishing is usually more about setting the intention than an actual ritual. But following on what you say, I do believe that we never, ever, ever take anything away without replacing it with something better. So let's say, and by the way, this is a personal example, something I did, was I wanted to eat less for comfort, but I wanted the comfort. So instead of eating for comfort, when I wanted to feel comforted, I would take a bath, which is another kind of yummy self-loving experience. So I would get, you know, fancy, schmancy, smelly salts and bath bombs and oils, and I would just give myself a bath. I wasn't hungry. I wasn't feeling deprived. I just wanted to give myself a different automatic behavior. I don't know that I would call that banishing, because for me, banishing is more a metaphysical and energetic exercise of, you know, kind of dancing with things that feel outside of my control, things where I feel like, you know, circumstances are impacting me. But definitely for any behavior, any change you want to make, you always want to be swapping up. And especially when we're talking about, you know, a broken heart, because, you know, divinity has decided that this, whatever that relationship has played its out, and it's kind of freeing you up to find your like true life partner. I always look at it as, okay, I solve what I want and it's going to be this and better. So we always, even if the better is not there right away, whenever we give something up, we always want to put something better in its place so that we don't leave a vacuum to backtrack. But creating that vacuum is necessary to give room for the better. Otherwise, we're telling the universe this is good enough, even if it sucks. And I think sometimes those heartbreaks that came out of left field, and you might comment on this, Devin, that broke our heart that we didn't want. It's as if our soul decided that you're settling and you can do better, and it's time. It's time to cut the strings and let go, because you have to create that space and fill it with self-love and self-respect and just faith, so that you can meet the better. And I met Devin when I was 45, and I was looking since I was 5. And it literally, and I had the thought many, many times, I felt like God's hand was like getting in the way of letting me really get attached to guys or get married or stay in relationships so that I would be free when my right person came. And that was my experience, and he was worth the wait. Did you have anything to say, my love?
Not a lot, really. I mean, I think you kind of covered it. I mean, I think to me it is about to set an intention, and then of course, while I also think action is sort of required, a requirement to kind of get the thing that you want. In other words, I think it's great you can banish, I don't know, your some of this laziness, but if they need to get a job, they still have to send in, you know, they still have to send in an application. You know, they still have to file the paperwork. They still have to do the thing that will help them move towards the thing that they want. You know,
and physical action is very useful if you want physical results in the world, but kind of let the universe know you're serious, it moves energy.
Yeah, and I think it also changes, as we were talking earlier, it changes the dynamic. And I think as human beings, we're here for lessons, and I think it's easy to get caught up, admired in a particular thing, and then listen, we just come from a year of pandemic and politics where we were trapped listening to political diatribes constantly. Right. And so how do we get through that thing?
Which you didn't like, that I loved.
Right. And that was for me. That was absolutely horrifying. But, you know, whatever it is, you get to strive towards something else. And I think it's important to identify what the problems are. And I think it's important to start identifying what the solution is. And then sometimes if the solution is really big, scary, whatever, then you take tiny actions to get there. But sometimes, listen, I think everybody wants a $50 million company until it's time to start writing up a business plan, right? And so the trick is that at some point you have to sit down and kind of get your ducks in a row and start visioning out what it is that somebody wants to do. And so if there's something that's preventing you from doing that each step along the way, then you take some sort of action and you get some sort of intention developed in your mind so you can go out and accomplish the thing that you want.
So we're kind of moving into manifestation. Do you want to give any tips on that?
Well, I mean, that's really it. I mean, I think one of my favorite, and this I'm going to get a little religious, not religious, I'm going to get a little spiritual. This really has nothing to do with religion. I'm a big believer that the universe supplies results. So in other words, the things that happen in the world are the things that manifest in, like that's part of what the universe does. Is, in other words, I'm not in control of it, right? I can say, I want a pepperoni pizza to come to my door. Magic, right? And I don't want to do anything to
get
it.
That'd be so wild if that happened right now.
Right, there's no pepperoni pizza coming to the door. There's none, right? Like, there's no chance. Even if I were to do the best banishing, I've cleared the pathway. I've swept the driveway.
You tried every vowel on your way there.
Right, except the right one. I didn't say swept, but I meant to. So I didn't, I swept the driveway and I'm waiting for the pizza to show up and it just hasn't shown up. At some point though, I have to call up. I still don't know if the pizza will arrive, but if I called up somebody who actually sells pizzas and say they will deliver them, then I have a reasonable chance to believe that the pizza will show up on my doorstep. But if I just kind of really plan really hard and I don't do anything to make the pepperoni pizza manifest, then I'm probably not going to have the pizza manifest. And at the same time, I also have to understand that even though I've planned for the pizza to show up, and I called the pizza delivery person to show up, and I paid for them, sometimes the pizza gets lost, right? The person with the pizza gets lost, something happens, and instead of showing up in 30 minutes, which I was hoping, all of a sudden there's no pizza at all, and I'm outraged.
So what does that have to do with manifestation?
It has to do with I get to take action, the universe supplies results.
So
hold on. You know, a word was spoken, which is a cue, that at some point, part of the manifestation is kind of letting go the action that you take to get the thing that you want. Because let's go back to the pizza analogy. Let's say I've set the intention for a pizza. I called the pizza delivery place. They said they're going to be here very shortly. And then 2 hours goes by. And there's no pizza. I could say to myself, I tried to get a pizza, but now I can't. And now everything's terrible and I'm miserable. My life is over and I'm not going to have pizza.
Oh, you're selling yourself so short with all these metaphors when you're such a magical guy.
No, but I think you're missing the point. I think really.
So you're going to talk about pizza for 20 more minutes.
Well, because I think for the moment, I think it's a reasonable analogy. That really what it comes down to is at some point you have to have in part of the mindset of manifestation is that if you're not going to get it this direction, then you try a different direction. That's all. So when we're talking about pizza delivery, sometimes you're going to have to make a follow-up call to say, where's my pizza? Well, sometimes you're going to have to do some additional action to allow the pizza to come into your life. And maybe I'm talking about pizzas, but really the same kind of construct manifests in anything that you're looking to make manifest.
I would go even farther, because like my wheelhouse is not people who don't take the necessary action. My wheelhouse is the people who take all the right actions and do it really well and don't get the results they want and what's in the way, to so that you don't have to work harder. But you get much bigger results without working harder. And I finally got what you were saying.
Well,
I finally got it. And I would take that farther. That when you manifest well, that every obstacle, every apparent obstacle, and every apparent delay is actually designed in your favor to course correct so that you get a better result and a faster result than you would have gotten otherwise. And it will not look that way, and it may hurt and feel horrible when the delay or the obstacle happens, but each one of them is that thing that requires you to get another piece of the puzzle, whether it's a skill or it's a redirect. You are getting exactly what you need to get what you want better than even you envision. So I think a really, really valuable skill for manifesting really big stuff, little stuff, but also really big stuff, because obstacles don't show up for the really little stuff.
Sure.
Unless it's pizza.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm just saying that all kinds of things can happen. And I appreciate the skill set stuff. I think that all of those things are incredibly important.
But if you can actually change your relationship to the obstacle and the setback, to see it as in your favor, oh, what do I need to learn here? That is like, you know, you go to these mythic journeys and the hero or heroine picks up, or Dungeons and Dragons, you know, you pick up a new...
And you're talking about, you're blaming me for using pizza analogy. Please go on.
Yeah, you pick up like, you know... You're off on your journey, and then the ogre shows up. And you survive the ogre, and you get the magical potion, which is going to be really critical later on. And I think like the reason we love Dungeons and Dragons, of, you know, those of us of a certain age and ilk, is because it magnifies what life is really like, is you get the ogre shows up in your life. And in overcoming it, you get your next magical power. And so I invite you to look at obstacles that way.
Well, and I think part of, again, this was going back to what I was talking about a couple minutes ago, which was, it's not personal. If the pizza doesn't show up, it's not like the pizza delivery person was there to punish you by not delivering the pizza. In other words, there's going to be obstacles. As a matter of fact, I would argue, for anything that you sort of set your sights on, there's going to be some measure of something that's going to need to be adjusted somewhere along the line, especially if it's more than calling the pizza person, right? Like we have a pizza place on the corner. So that one, more often than not, is going to be an easier thing to make manifest. But at some point, if you want to run a business, if you want to change your social status, if you want to, you know, be on social media, if you want to climb that ladder, whatever the ladder is that you're looking to climb, there's more than likely there's going to be multiple steps to the process. And each one of those steps is probably going to be a learning thing. And I think people, you know, in other words, if you're starting a new business, somebody who's already gone through the slings and arrows of starting their own business are going to realize that it's not just some straight climb. I mean, once in a while we'll see that on the news. But more often than not, people are going to have to kind of go through that process.
That straight climb, if it has ever happened, is dumb luck.
Right.
The person didn't grow or learn anything and can't recreate it. You know, success without failure is luck. And you can't really, you can enjoy it while it's there, but you can't really use it. You can't recreate it. You can't do as much with it. It doesn't have the same deep roots. We want to increase your luck, but we also want to honor the evolutionary process. We are closing in on the hour. I wanted to give one quick and easy trick that I use to kind of lubricate the year in my favor. And that is setting a theme. And I know lots of people talk about themes and what's your word and stuff like that. This is something I've been doing for like close to 30 years. Setting a theme is setting like a flavor for the year to come in that you really want to flavor your year, but also it pulls you in the direction you want to grow. And the problem with people just saying, oh, pick a theme, and then it does nothing is they don't really understand or teach the dynamic behind what you need to do to make it work. So when you pick a theme that does not work is a theme that comes from an energy of fixing. So if I had a year of destitution and financial anxiety and I want the theme of money or wealth, it's coming from wealth actually is not a problem. But if my theme is lots of money, that is a scarcity generated theme. So it just sort of mirrors the scarcity that's already there. So you want to pick a theme that you desire, but you also want it to be safe. So I like to put in some like modifiers sometimes to make sure that it's safe so that I don't have to resist it. And it also trains you to look for certain opportunities. So for example, if your theme is play a bigger game, you start magnetizing opportunities for playing a bigger game, or you get multiple opportunities and you can look at them. Is that a bigger game? Or not? No, that's not. But this one is, and this is a bigger game in the direction that I want to play. So I'm going to say yes to this one. That's what a bigger game might look like. One year, I wanted my theme to, because I had just come out of a year of doing everything myself, I wanted a theme of graciously accepting help, but I wanted to make it safe. So it's graciously accepting the help I need was my theme that year. And I know that might sound, I said, don't come from a place of reacting to pain, but you can come from a place of desire and make it safe. So let's say you had a year of financial anxiety. The reason I like the word wealth better than money is because money has a lot of pain attached to it, but wealth is more than just money. So I had a client years ago who wanted her theme to be, making a lot of money. And I suggested that was problematic and maybe not even big enough. So she shifted it to a year of being a wealthy woman, because being a wealthy woman is something she can experience whether she makes money or not, because wealth is other things. It's love, it's self-love, it's life experience, it's enjoying her family. And by focusing on wealthy woman, being a wealthy woman, not only did she have those experiences of self-love and the richness of being, of loving her family and appreciating the wealth in what she already had, but she also made an outrageous amount of money. So a theme is positive. I would make it as general as possible so that you can be surprised by what's coming and go with your intuition about what theme would help you grow next. So my theme for 2021 is riding the waves of the mystery, because I feel we're in this time that's quickly changing and pivoting, and I wanted something active, like riding the waves like it's a ride, and also embracing the mystery of it, because I think that theme for me is an expansive theme that really invites in all the great things coming that I don't know about yet.
And we have about 40 seconds.
Do you have a theme?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I haven't even thought about it. I mean, honestly, you know, we'll probably sit down on New Year's and we'll discuss some ideas, but I haven't thought about it.
That's right. Page 43.
Right. No, but honestly, we get that. I get that book every year. And we'll go through a whole thing. So,
You know somebody.
I do. I have an in. So, okay. So that's it. We've got about 10 seconds left now.
Okay. So next week, I have invited somebody special to be our guest. I'll get a confirmation before I announce him, but I think that would be exciting. This is Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. We're here every Wednesday. Come and join our community at crazysexymidlifelove.com. We want to hear from you between shows. Share with us your feedback, your suggestions, your requests, what you would like on the show. And we will see you again next week. And have lots and lots of love in 2021. Mwah.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.